Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Daniel Horowitz is with us. We're talking now about how, whether it's with respect to the so-called Muslim ban, in fact, an immigration pause from six Muslim-majority countries, among others. We're talking about DACA. We'll be talking in the moment about other issues affecting military policy. But Daniel, you've made a tremendously important point that the Constitution never contemplated a federal judge, a creature of you know, congressional statutory authority, making essentially laws from the bench for the entire nation. How is that operating, in fact, at the moment?
Exactly. I mean, this is the government shutdown I was talking about. For years, the judges have been kind of foraying into social policy. They now control social policy. A life is not a life. A marriage is not a marriage. You name it. But now they're getting involved in national security and they've become commander-in-chief. Foreign nationals can't even get standing in a court. It makes no sense. Yet they're giving abstract foreign nationals access to the courts to sue to immigrate. That's not just Article 1 immigration powers delegated to the president. They're inherent Article 2 powers, as the courts themselves have said on the issue of immigration for a number of years. And then, as you well know, in addition, they're taking over the commander-in-chief mantle by forcing the president to bring in masochists who, I don't know a nicer way of saying this, castrate themselves into the military, and they're very, you know, unstable. It's a mental disorder. Over 40% have attempted suicide. But then they're forcing the Pentagon to pay for the operations as well.
Correction, they're not castrating themselves. We are. we're paying to do it.
It's unbelievable. I mean, there is no limit. And basically, just to sum it up, here's the problem. We've now imbued in our political system this notion that a district judge could take an abstract policy, put a nationwide injunction, meaning not just within the case or controversy coming before them, but place a nationwide injunction binding outside of their district. And then what they do is they go to these whacked out district judges within the circuits like the fourth or ninth, where they know they're going to win the appeal. So usually, as bad as the Supreme Court is, they're not yet going that crazy on us. So they're going to wind up stopping it, but it takes a while. And it's been a year into this so-called travel ban, and most of it is still enjoined by the court.
But Daniel, how is it that this judge can exercise that kind of authority outside of, you know, their own immediate jurisdiction? That seems to be unprecedented. Perhaps there is a precedent, but it seems totally untoward at the very least.
No, there is no precedent. And by the way, our buddy Andy McCarthy always says, well, if you're not a lawyer, then you could think very clearly about this issue.
Oh, I see. We're unencumbered.
Yeah, you get muddled by what Scalia always called the legal fog, where, you know, up is down and inside is out. So basically, this did not occur until fairly recently, maybe the 1990s, that a district judge could place a nationwide injunction on a policy. But again, not only does Congress really controls most of the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, but when it comes to the lower courts, their ability to place injunctions, the rules of standing, the rules of construct, the rules of interpretation, the subject matter jurisdiction, the geographical jurisdiction, the makeup of those courts, that is all controlled by statute, not the Constitution. And it boggles the mind that we haven't even had a legislative discussion, despite everything going on. One other issue I want to put on the radar of your listeners is that judges are starting to invalidate deportations of criminal aliens by saying, more essentially, that the countries you're going to return them to are blank holes. Basically, that's what they're saying. And therefore, we can't return them, and completely engage in civil disobedience against our most foundational sovereignty statutes. This is a very big problem that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah. Daniel, I think that the key takeaway from all of that is, as you've said so well, is we need a comprehensive judicial reform initiative. And I'd like to think Senator Ted Cruz, who knows a thing or two about these matters, might be the guy to lead it. But it's long overdue. And the implications of not refining the jurisdiction, or the latitude at least, of these federal judges is frightening. And let's just drill down in our last few minutes with you, Daniel Horowitz, on this business about judges now expropriating, I guess is a word for it, the president's Article II authorities as the commander-in-chief. It seems to me, and correct me if I'm overstating the case here, that if the federal judges can get away with telling the president who will be in the military, it's no stretch of the imagination to believe that they will soon be telling him what he can do with the people in the military, either the ones that they've put in or the ones that were there before. Namely, we may well see the president's direction to engage in military operations, for example, countermanded by some federal judge who doesn't cotton to it. Is that possible? And again, what would the implications of that be?
You're absolutely right. When you give standing to a state attorney general to sue to actively bring in more immigrants, we're not even talking about deporting ones already here. We're talking about future abstract immigrants that aren't even named. Then there's nothing the courts can't do. What's to stop the courts from giving standing to California, Hawaii to say, I don't want to deploy our National Guard units to go to such and such military operation. I believe it's wrong. And put an injunction on the military operation. Let's say we need to do something with North Korea or Iran. Put an injunction on it. Or, you know, another thing the Fourth Circuit has said is that the abstract nature of the policy alone is invidious. It's discriminatory because it makes Muslims feel like outsiders. So the thought crossed my mind. A judge could say every one of our military engagements, they all happen to be involved with Muslim countries. That stigmatizes Muslims. I mean, Anthony Kennedy already told us in the Obergefell marriage case that there's an anti-stigma clause in the Constitution. I mean, there is no limit to what they can do. They could literally wave their hand and erase your manhood, and the body politic will say it's the law of the land. I don't get it.
I missed that anti-stigma clause in the Constitution in my study of the document. But again, this speaks to your point, and that is, it doesn't have to be in the Constitution. It doesn't have to be in the statutes. If it is in the statutes, it doesn't have to be in the legislative history. If you have indeed tolerated the making of law from the bench out of whole cloth, there is no limit to what can be done in theory, and the Constitution be damned.
We've already crossed the point that I thought would trigger a revolution against the courts. I could have never imagined some of the stuff with immigration, transgenderism. My book is actually underwhelming compared to what's happening. I warned particularly about immigration being the final front in judicial tyranny, and it's happened in such a spectacular fashion. It's beyond what I predicted. The bottom line is this. The founders never envisioned that the other two branches of government, equipped with much more robust tools, courts don't have the power of the purse, they don't have the power of enforcement. Keep in mind, to enforce court decisions, you have the federal marshals, which is controlled by the executive branch. They never envisioned that they would deal with this stuff, that they would indulge it, they'd listen to it. What you have now is what's called in legal terms adverse possession, basically squatter's rights. Someone comes and squats on your property for a while, and then they kind of take it over. The other branches need to get on the playing field of constitutional interpretation. And, you know, you got to walk before you run. I understand it's hard when you have this notion in the body politic that the courts are supreme, but you got to start pushing back against them. Otherwise, elections don't even matter.
If not now, when? If not we, who? Daniel Horowitz, I know the answer in part is you, as a matter of fact, and the answer for sure is now. Thank you so much for your time today, Daniel, and for the tremendously important work you do at The Conservative Consciousness with Daniel Horowitz, his column at Conservative Review. Also, check out his terrific show at CRTV, Mark Levin's great new project. And I appreciate so much what you do, and the pleasure of working with you is really enhanced by our visits. I hope you'll come back to us often in 2018, Daniel. In the meantime, stay well. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.